Number three tonight, Colossians chapter number three. We've been in the book of Colossians for a while. Last week we got down into verse number 9 and 10, but we're going to backtrack a little bit into a couple of verses that we skipped over. I believe this is the way the Lord has led, and I think it's better to obey God. Amen. I'll be honest, tonight is not going to be easy for me as a preacher to preach on. It's a subject that's, to be quite frank with you, very odd to preach on, very, very uncomfortable to preach on. But like with that said, you know, there's a lot of things that are uncomfortable to preach on that most preachers just will not preach on anymore. But the Bible still has them in there, and Paul has dealt with these issues in other churches in times past, and I believe, you know, not necessarily is everything in the Bible to us, but it is all for us, amen? And I don't think we should overlook it just because it's uncomfortable. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world today that could be dealt with, but is not being dealt with because it's uncomfortable and we don't want to offend nobody and hurt nobody's feelings. Well, can I say this? Listen, all sin is sin in the eyes of God, and He still hates all sin. He died for all sin, and He still loves every sinner. And all sin needs to be dealt with. It needs to be preached on. And Lord willing, tonight, you're not dealing with this, but listen, if you are, or you know someone who is, let me tell you something, there is hope. We're not preaching this to offend you, to upset you, to hurt your feelings, to make you leave, to make you upset at me. Listen, I'm not the one that said it. God said it. So with that said, we're going to pray tonight, and we're going to get started in verse number 5. Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight, Lord, for your word, for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Now, Lord, as we go into this touchy subject tonight, Lord, I know especially, Lord, hopefully, not so much as in the moms and dads, but Lord, if we were preaching this around young people tonight, this would be striking a fire everywhere. But Lord, no doubt many moms and dads need to hear these messages because many of us have young people and many of us have made mistakes with our young people that we regret. And no doubt if they're like me, they've made mistakes with their older children that, Lord willing, we'll never make again with our younger children. But Lord, may we not be soft-shelled tonight and thin-skinned and offended very easily. But tonight, may the Spirit of God just convict us and lead us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, may you help our families tonight. Lord, if we want help at New Hope Independent Baptist Church, we've got to have help in each and every family member at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. And Lord, tonight, I just pray, God, you'll bind the devil in the name of Jesus off your teaching and the reading of God's Word tonight, and you'll have your will and your way in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Starting verse number 5, the Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That first word, what is that, church? Fornication. We're going to deal with that word tonight, but the rest of the verse says fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Please forgive my voice tonight. I'm terribly sorry for that. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. So here it is, Paul again. I know we've been down past this, these verses already, but here's Paul again teaching this church and coming to this church and saying, hey, you need to mortify your members which are upon this earth. What does the word mortify mean? It means to kill, to discipline one's body and physical appetites by self-denial. Now, I wonder if we were to go around the room tonight and ask each and every one of you, has there ever been a time in your life where your flesh desired something and you just had to say, whoa, 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 flesh, that's not right? How many would raise their hand and say, I've been there? Folks, look, every one of us have been there. And here's the problem. Many people will admit nothing that you just admitted. They'll say, no, not me. I've never had any of those bad thoughts. I've never thought about fornication and uncleanness and idolatry and evil communication. I've never been angry. I've never had malice in my heart. I've never had evil communication. Well, here's the reality. That's a lie. Everyone deals with everything, with problems all over the world. And Paul is coming into, again, Paul's not talking to lost people. That's what we have to realize. He's talking to the church. He's coming in and he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. The first thing he's dealing with here is what? Fornication. Then his verse 6 says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked, that's past tense, sometime when ye lived in them. What he's saying is, when you were lost, was it still a sin? Yes, but when you were lost, you know, people kind of expect you to live like a lost man when you're lost and you don't have Jesus Christ and you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and leading you and guiding you into all truth. But once we have that, we have no excuse, because now we have a convicting God, a convicting Spirit living within us that is contrary to every sin. Every sin. Not contrary to some sin, contrary to every sin. So he's dealing right now tonight with fornication. There are going to be things that our flesh is going to love. If we were all to be honest here tonight, we would say there have been times in our lives where we have let lust, the lust of our flesh, take over. Well, how do I prevent these from happening? Well, we can start with this, admitting that these things are happening. These things are happening. What is fornication? It's no secret. Fornication is the act of sexual intercourse between a man and a woman that are not married. All God's people said. Now listen, it'd be fun tonight if I were preaching on Daniel and the den of lions, or David and Goliath, and we talked about the mighty warrior that David was, or Jonah, who rebelled against God and for 3 days and three nights spent time in the belly of a whale while people in Nineveh were living in sin and dying and today are in hell. But when he repented, he got right and the whole nation was saved. Or it'd be fun tonight to talk about Moses and how he led the Israelites and smacked the rock and water came out and he parted the Red Sea and the Israelites crossed over. All those are good stories. They're fun stories. Or Noah, who obeyed God and he built an ark. Or Joseph, who was thrown in the pit and went from the pit to the palace. You know the story. His whole family was saved because he had to go through a rough time. Those are fun things to preach about. But often overlooked are the real issues as to why churches are not making it today in America. Fornication is a very real thing that is taking place in young people's lives. It's taking place in adults' lives. It's taking place in married couples' lives. Y'all okay? It's taking place all around us. And can I say, it is a sin. And God is against it. How can we prevent some of these from happening? One, we got to start preaching on them. And two, we got to start accepting that it's real. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what, church? Flesh." When we're walking in the Spirit, we are 100% devoted and committed to doing anything the Holy Spirit asks us to do. I wonder how many of you could think of the last time that God, in His convicting Spirit, tried to have you do something, and you just said, "Nope, I'm not doing that." God prompted you to do something that you know good and well the devil would never prompt you to do. And by the way, if it's not the devil, it's who? It's God. And if it's not God, it's who? It's the devil. There's no in between. Listen, if God prompted you to do something and you're not listening, you're not living 100% committed to the Spirit of God, it's time, if you want this church to go from the level it's already at to the next level and to the next level. And what do you mean by levels? I mean more souls saved, more lives changed, more families helped, more healing, more hope. For Red Level, Alabama, for Andalusia, for McKenzie, for Evergreen, for Loango, for the surrounding areas. If you want to see that, you're going to have to commit to God. You're going to have to commit to everything He asked you to do, leaving nothing out. And listen, living with open sin in your life, see, here's the problem. Many people want to get on board and they want to do and they want to do and they want to do, but they want to live in fornication. You say, "Brother Drew, I'm not living in fornication." Well, thank God you're not. Because tomorrow, you could be. I could tell you story after story after story of married couples that I've dealt with over the past 15 years who have lived in fornication, of young ladies who we've warned, "Hey, don't go out and have premarital sex. Moms, dads, please don't let your babies go out and date alone with no accountability." Why? Because when she knocks on your door and she's crying and you're angry and she says, "I'm pregnant and I'm only 14, what am I going to do?" Hey, it's real. And you question, well, why'd you do that? No, Mom, Dad, why did you let her do it? Mom, Dad, why did you let him do that? I'll tell you what, if I had a little, I had a lot of rules growing up, but I didn't have enough. I did not have enough. My leash was too long. And had I had a little longer leash, I would have probably stood at the marriage altar pure. Hey, what else do you actually want for your sons and your daughters that you say you love so much than to stand right here pure in heart and look the woman in the eyes or the man in the eyes that they're going to marry and say, look, you're the first person I've ever kissed. You're the first hand that I've ever held. You're the first person that I've ever been with sexually like we're talking about. Listen, that's God's design, but the world has perverted that. You ever heard of a man named Adam? He didn't have that opportunity, did he? I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but listen, God has a plan for us. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. However, there are many things that the Holy Spirit commands us to do. And as we've been on this journey in the book of Colossians, we've learned that we're to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, and more recently we've learned that we're to lie not one to another. We talked about it last Wednesday and how lying hurts the home and how lying hurts the individual and how lying hurts all the other people involved. All of these produce a spirit that is not of God. And folks, listen, if your life is not producing a godly spirit, what kind of spirit is it producing? Somebody tell me. A devilish spirit, a satanic spirit. And you know the doors we went through. You're opening up doors in your life, and all the devil needs you to do is crack that door open, and he's going to bust that baby down, and he's coming in, and he's going to reap havoc in your home. Folks, it's important tonight that you listen to what God is saying here about this. Verse number 5. The Bible tells us to mortify the members which are upon the earth, the fleshly things of the devil. We're dealing with fornication tonight. You say, how in the world does this apply to me? Though this does not apply to all of us, or though this may not apply to you, all around us, in our churches, in our schools, if we had some school teachers in here, they'd be saying amen right now. In our schools, in our workplaces, hey, workplaces are vile. They're wicked. They're disgusting. In our military, y'all all right? Everywhere you go is full of fornication. Men and women committing an awful sin of fornication. Many of them are married but are experiencing fornication with other partners. It saddens me that young people as early as age 10, 11, and 12 are losing their pureness because of this sin. You say, how on earth is this possible? Because people are believing the lies of the devil and believing the promotions of the world that people ought to be able to choose how they want to live and enjoy life. It's their life. Have as many partners as you possibly can. Learn how to live with them before you get married. Hey, that's against God. Y'all all right tonight? Folks, look, this is real. I'm sick and tired of seeing young people's lives ruined because parents won't get on board with the Bible. And then we want to blame the young people. It's not their fault. It's our fault. I've made mistakes with my oldest son, Brother Tim, that I pray to God I never make with my next three. But you know what a fool does? He doesn't learn from his mistakes, does he? A wise man will learn and realize, yes, I made a mistake, and beg God and repent and say, Lord God, please, don't let me fail with the next five like I did with the first one. And you go to that boy and you say, son, Dad made a terrible mistake. That takes some what? Humility. And you tell him, son, I realize you messed up, but I messed up. I let you go too far. I let you have a little bit too much. You know, my grandma used to say that all the time. Son, I give you an inch and you take a what? How many's done that before? Listen, they're going to do it every time. That's just who they are. They're sinners by nature. Wickedness. It's bound in the heart of a child. Y'all know that? It is. And especially if they think it's okay. But it saddens me that young people as ages 10 and 11 and 12 are losing their pureness because of this sin. It is nothing but a disgusting idea that the devil has put in our nation's mind that we should be able to be with anybody that we want to be with, and not only that, at any time that we want to be with them. God has given us some boundaries. He has instructed us to keep this between the marriage bonds, and all God's people said, amen. As a matter of fact, God has given us some strict instructions to follow to prevent such things. I'll take you to the Bible where most young people wish this did not exist. First Corinthians chapter 7. Let's go there. Next time your daughter or your son says, Mom, Dad, why can't I do this with her? Or why can't I do this with him? You take them to this Bible verse right here. And you say, son, young lady, we are called to be your parents, and God has given us the responsibility to be your mom and dad, and to the best of our abilities and through God's word, we're going to do it God's way from here on out. If you don't like it, tough. Listen, it doesn't matter if they don't like it. You're still in charge. Y'all all right? They live with you. You do not live with them. There was a lot of things that I didn't like, but before I could say I didn't like it, the backhand was coming across my cheek. You know why? Because she didn't care that I didn't like it. It was what she said or else. We need some more homes like that. Don't let your kids tell you what they are and are not going to do. You lay the rules down and stick to them. And I'll tell you what will make them understand that the rules are going to last is when dad and mom agree. When mom makes a rule, and she or he can go over here to dad, and they know they can manipulate daddy, they're going to do it every time. But daddy, you know what you ought to say? Hey, what did your mama say about that? I agree with whatever she said. Hey, mom, you know what you ought to start doing? What did your dad say about that? If he said no, that means no. End of story. We need some more families like that. But here's the real problem. Mom and dad don't really agree on much. Because one or the other usually feels sorry for them. You know what I'm talking about? But guys, we're leading them to trouble, to damnation. We're sending them off, and we're wondering why in the world they're living in this awful sin of fornication. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Say, Brother Drew, why don't you let your kids date and go off alone? You know how many times I've been asked that since I moved here? Not just from people in the church. Some people in the church have came to me and said, you're going to let them date, right? No. Absolutely not. You're not going to let that boy go to prom with that girl? Nope. Because I know what I'd have been doing at prom. Absolutely not. You're not going to let your daughter over my dead body. Y'all hear me? Don't come to me and ask me for my daughter until I'm giving her to you right here at the marriage altar, all right? Don't do it because you ain't getting her. Y'all all right? Hey, we need some more daddies like that. Protect them. They mean something. Cherish them. Cherish their pureness. This world could care less if your daughter's pregnant at 12 years old. Y'all hear me? What does the Bible say about this? Now concerning these things, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to what? Now, some of your versions will read, it's good for a man not to have sexual relations. You see the difference in touch and sexual relations? And well, touch is, am I touching? That's touch. Now see, you remember when you went out on your first date or when you finally got to hold her hand for the first time and the hair on your arm stood up? When you got within 6 inches, you know, they used to say, hey, if you're sitting with them in church, put a Bible between you. You know what I'm saying? Turn it long ways, all right? But look, you know, when you're alone, and here's what happens, you get so close, and guys, you know what I'm talking about, you start tingling, and then she rubs up against you on accident, and you're like, whoa, that felt pretty good. And then finally, listen, you grab a hold of that soft hand, and then every hair on your body stands up straight. It's electric. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, here's the thing. The only problem with that is that feeling was designed for marriage. Because now when you're 14 and she's 13, or you're 14 and she's 15, and that electric feeling that you just can't get away from now becomes more than just a touching of a hand, and now you're hugging her and she's getting closer and closer, and pretty soon you're committing fornication. And let me tell you something. Don't fool yourself and say, I'm only going to do it once. You're an idiot. You're flat crazy. It's kind of like The drunk who says, I'm only going to drink once, but 30 years later, we're still praying for him because he can't stay out of a bar. Or the drug addict who's laying on the side of the street with a sign begging for his next fix. You know what I'm talking about? Folks, listen. This stuff is so real. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Then it says in verse number 2, look at this. Nevertheless, to avoid what? So God is pretty much saying, if you don't touch them, you won't have to worry about fornicating with them. And all God's people said, listen, so if there's something that I as a dad can do to prevent my sons and my daughters from committing fornication, one thing I can do is make sure they're never alone with a girl, with my boys, or if my young ladies are never alone with a guy. Because I promise you they ain't going to touch him in front of me. They might, but I'm going to break his hands. Y'all all right? I love my girls. You know, I'll let, you know, if my sons are that dumb, I'll let their dad take care of that. Y'all all right with that? Hey, don't touch my babies. But if there's something I can do and there's something my wife can do, listen, we've got to set boundaries for them because, of course, they're going to want to go out together and be alone. But why do they want to be alone? Anyone want to just give me some ideas why they'd want to be alone? We don't need to do that, do we? We know why they want to be alone, because they'll do things alone that they'll never do in front of you. And here's another thing. If the young lady or the young man that your child is interested in can't sit around a table and have a conversation with their family, get your children away from them. Y'all all right? And here's what I always tell my sons. If the young lady doesn't have a good relationship with her father, she gone. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because she's going to treat you like she treats her daddy. And here's the reality. If he don't have a relationship with his mother, guess what? Come on. He gone. Because they're going to treat you the same way. Pay attention to that. When your children start growing up and your grandchildren start growing up, listen, if the person they're interested in is standoffish and can't stand to be around a family setting, then they don't need to be around me. And they definitely don't need to be around my children. Y'all okay? Look, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you protect your babies. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, what does the Bible say? Let every man have his what? Own wife, and every woman have her what? Own husband. The Bible gives us some very clear instructions on how not to put ourselves in a position to fall to this sin. The problem is we do not believe what God says about this matter. We let our young people go off and date and be alone with young men and women and expect nothing to happen. Can I just tell you, mom, dad, that's foolish. Something's going to happen. And look, I'm not against a courtship where both parents are involved. I realize that my sons and my daughters eventually are going to like people. But here's the deal. If they want to go to dinner, you know what I'll say? All right, mom and I'll take you guys out to dinner. We'll go with you. And if they say, well, that's probably not a good idea, then they gone. You see how easy that is? If they really want to be together, they'll love and cherish the opportunities that we give them. You want to go to the movies? No. We'll come over. We'll watch a movie. We'll cook dinner. We'll make some popcorn. We'll sit on our couch together. We'll even send all the other kids outside, and me and you and her and mom will sit here and we'll have a good time together. What's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because we're protecting them. We're not putting them in a position to fail. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't work like that. But here, we as parents and grandparents and church members, and look, church members, I said church members, need to get behind our young people and encourage them. I love here that we don't have a problem with people signing up to teach classes, and that we don't have a problem with people signing up to volunteer at VBS. You know what this world needs? It needs families, men and women, to invest into them, because look, every child just don't have it. And it's not their fault. It's not their fault. We must look past the idea that we're better than anybody because we're better than nobody. Y'all all right? In the eyes of Jesus, we're all sinners, saved by grace. Formerly hell-bound, hell-deserving, but God who is rich in mercy. I love that our church unifies around young people. I love that our church has junior church workers and goes over there and constantly have to say, sit down, sit down, sit down, be quiet, listen, it'll be all right. I can testify. I'll take you back and let you talk to a lady named Miss Janice and let you find out how many times she told me to be quiet. Shh, well, don't make me call your granny. You know what I'm saying? But you never know who you're investing in. Folks, it's important that we as a church get behind this next generation. We've got to. We've got to get behind our young people and encourage them that being pure is the way to go. Our goal for each and every young person at New Hope Independent Baptist Church should be this. It should be to see them at a marriage altar with pure hearts and pure minds, never having experienced sexual activity with anyone other than the one across from them. And that's not until after they're married. That should be our goal. You say, Brother Drew, we don't even think like that. Listen, the world doesn't think like that. But as I'm talking, here's what I want you to do, Grandma and Grandpa. Put your grandbabies' faces in your minds right now. And just see if you would like little Johnny or little Susie to experience the things that we're talking about tonight. Or would you rather see little Johnny and little Susie at the altar pure, a chastened virgin, ready to give herself to her husband and her husband only, ready to give himself to his wife and his wife only? How many know that's so much better? Folks, that's God's way. And their marriage will be better because of it. This does not only hurt because of the fornication. Later in the marriage, can I tell you this? It'll bring up jealousy. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe he'll ask the question, well, am I as good as him? Or maybe she'll ask the question, am I as good as her? Folks, that's what all the wickedness, see, the devil don't tell you all this. All he tells you is this will feel good right here and right now. But later in life, when you're trying to give your whole heart to your wife, and you have to be honest with her and tell her that you've given a piece of your heart away to someone else, because whether you like it or not, when you give in to fornication, you've given a piece of your heart away. Y'all okay? You have. And that is going to bring up questions. And I'm not saying they can hold you accountable and responsible. I know you can't change the past. Oh, well, they just need to forgive. No, you just need to be responsible. Don't give them anything to have to forgive you of later on in life. Help your children get there pure. These are all things that God did not design for the man or woman to ever think about. Think about Adam and Eve. God put Adam to sleep. You know what we ought to do on that, some of us? We need to teach our kids, hey, fall asleep on that issue. Stop thinking about it. Quit worrying about it. Adam's out there in the garden, and God gives him the assignment of naming all the animals. Aren't you glad God didn't give us that assignment? Could you imagine having all them animals come across you and say, all right, you look like a chicken. Where did he come up with these words? You look like a giraffe. I mean, keep in mind, this is before old Noah Webster came along and told us what all this stuff meant. You hear me? Adam was the smartest man that ever lived, I think. I mean, maybe Solomon, but still, Adam, pretty smart dude. I mean, a rhinoceros. Where does he come up with that? And then after it's all said and done, Adam's still alone. None of them are going to work. And God said, yes. God said, it's good that a man not be alone. I need to give you a helpmeet. And Adam went to sleep. He took one of his ribs, and he woke up, and he said, whoa, man. That's how the woman came about. Whoa, man. Y'all got that? And then there was Eve. But it wasn't like, and listen, that was his wife. And God said, you are now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. The two became what? One in unity. God produced Eve for Adam. And listen, can I say this? For your kids and your grandkids, God has someone for them. The Bible says, a man that findeth a wife findeth a what? Good thing. It's not good that man should be alone. He designed it like that. But Adam didn't get to go out to the mall and hang out and go out on the strip and, you know, every weekend and figure out which one he wanted to marry. Y'all know what I'm saying? He just got done naming the animals. That was the only other options there. Y'all with me on this? It was them or Eve. And to him, Eve was beautiful. She was everything that he could have ever imagined. Imagine if we were to raise our children and our grandchildren to not explore what the world's idea is of how to find a wife. And when God puts that young lady in his life, he'll know. Just like you knew. Every single one of you knew when you found the one. You knew. Because it wasn't a feeling like the others. All the others were just sensual, lustful, fleshly feelings that appealed to your fleshly desires. But when the one came along, there was nothing that could change your mind. You know what I'm talking about? See, we need to teach our kids and our grandkids how to get there without experiencing all this right here. That's what we got to do. God put Adam to sleep, took one of his ribs, made a woman for him. He did not have a choice. He did not go around and experience multiple women before he decided on a wife. God had the perfect wife for him. I believe today that God has the perfect wife for every single young man in this church. And I believe today that God has the perfect husband for every single young lady. But we, as the leaders of this next generation, must start encouraging them to choose God's way and avoid the horrible sin of fornication at all costs. You say, well, I just need to find a wife. Just know that God saw it good for Adam to have a helpmeet. He said, a man that findeth a wife findeth a what, church? A good thing. How many of you men would say, when I found a wife, I found a good thing? Amen. Now, I wonder how many of you ladies would say, when I found a husband, I found a good thing. Everybody's laughing. The problem is, we take that word find, and we start looking for who we think we should marry. We play hide and seek, and every time we find a girl, we're like, well, let me hang out with you for a little while. Ah, you're not the one. But you gave that girl a piece of your heart. You took something from that girl that did not belong to you. It belonged to her husband. Y'all all right? It belonged to her husband. And you took that. You stole that. And then you go to the next one, and you're like, well, here's some things I learned from the first one that I don't want in the second one. And then you go experience two or three more, and then finally God had the one that you were supposed to marry right under your fingertips the whole time. Maybe she was even in your church. Y'all all right? I think that's a good place to find a wife, by the way. In the church. That's how I met mine. Thank God. She was a piano player. She was beautiful. And she came along and I just knew. That was the one I was going to marry. I liked her cousin at the time when she moved into town. Funny story. Thank God we weren't allowed to go date. That could have been a bad story. But here's the deal. When she came along, there was no ifs, ands, or buts anymore. It was like, I'm going to marry her. Because that's the one that God brought across my path. And it's a neat story to tell people all the time. She wasn't right under my fingertips the whole time. She was raised 6,000 miles away. That's a long ways away now, isn't it? Never been to Alaska. Never had any desire to go to Alaska until I met her. Then she went to Alaska. She said, I'm going to Alaska. I said, well, I'm coming too. And 15, 14 and a half years later, here we are. We're back. But look, when you find the one, you'll know. When they find the one, they'll know. It was a feeling like no other woman could give you. Likewise, it was a feeling that no other man could give you. Ladies, God has a plan for each and every one of you in our church. And if we could learn to abstain from some of the things that he commands us to abstain from, we could find ourselves in much better marriages. Listen to this. We would find that the divorce in America, I think, would go down. Y'all all right with that? When you marry wrong, folks, it probably ain't going to last. Y'all know what I'm saying? Divorce would probably go down. We'd find that God's idea of the home where daddy and mama are present would be more of a reality instead of something just hoped for. We would find that young ladies who grow up feeling worthless because their mom and dad split up and daddy never cared about them would be a thing of the past. Wouldn't that be good? If all the stories, I could sit here and talk hours about hurting young men and women whose moms and dads divorced and one cared and one didn't and they grew up just feeling worthless. That's not God's design. We would find that young men growing up, and don't take this offensive, ladies, but raised by women and women only with no men in their lives would not be a reality. You want to know why men are feminine today? Because daddies aren't doing their jobs. Y'all all right? Thank God for mom who did her job and who stood in the gap. But hey, I'm against the divorce and I'm against, I know good, formerly godly people who divorced and mom got so angry at men that she started liking women, she married women, and now her boys are as feminine as they possibly could be. And they're following down the same path. God never designed that to happen. God never designed any of this to happen. We must get back to the principles of God's word when it comes to mortifying our members. We've got to stop fulfilling the lust of our flesh. It is destroying our homes and one at a time. It is destroying our homes one at a time. And as we know, as the home goes, so goes the what? The church. Let's see what else the Bible has to say about fornication. Five verses and we'll be done tonight. Not points, just verses. 1 Corinthians 5:1, the Bible said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Paul is here dealing with a church in Corinth. If you've ever did any history on that church in Corinth, you talk about a wicked, nasty, rotten church. He said there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. There was so much vileness going on in this church, the world wasn't even reporting this bad of what was going on. Do you see what Paul's trying to say? This was in a local New Testament church. Folks, I hope that's not our testimony today. 1 Corinthians 6:13, the Bible says, meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. You know what would put a stop to all the idea of fornicating and premarital sex and abortion and doing everything that we think because they're our bodies? Guess what? They're not your body. It belongs to the Lord. You were bought with a price. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. You are not your own, but ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your mortal body, or in your bodies, which are His. This is your reasonable service. The Bible says the body's not for fornication, but for the Lord. You know what would help if we would make up our minds that I don't even belong to me. I belong to God. And those babies that you're raising, they belong to God. Those grandchildren that you get to hold that are so precious and you get to babysit sometimes and then send them back home and all God's grandparents said, hey man, listen, they belong to God. You better help them out. God didn't just allow you to be a grandma and grandpa just to smile and love them. Listen, invest in them. Invest in them spiritually. Teach them the importance of pureness. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You know what God's saying here? He's saying, hey, since you become a child of God, you should never have this come up in your life. There should never be a time where fornication or uncleanness or covetousness gets brought up in a child of God's life. Why? Because we are children of God. And lastly tonight, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 3, the Bible says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And we know sanctification means set apart, that ye should abstain from fornication. Folks, listen, tonight, we're not going to have an altar call tonight. But look, I wonder if tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if just in the silence, if there's any families in here We're going to kill the live stream. I think it's very important that we realize the time and the hour that we're in. Folks, we're living in the end times. I wonder if just in this